Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Neivert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Neivert.
In 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, we read these words, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." What a statement. Born of God. It's called being born again, or born from above. Born of God. You don't believe and become born of God. You're born of God. That's why you believe. This is a sovereign work of God. Now, it's illustrated in different ways in the Scripture. It's illustrated as a creation. How much participation did man have in creation? Absolutely none. It's the work of God alone. You think of the virgin birth of Christ. It can be illustrated. Something like that is happening when someone is born again. They're born of God. You think of resurrection from the dead. That is the way the new birth is illustrated. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, if the Lord saves me or you, we are going to be born of God. The life of God in the soul, birthed by God. Now let me read some scriptures regarding this new birth. First, I want to read a verse of scripture that tells something that doesn't take place in the new birth. Verse 12 of John 1 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born." Here's that birth. Which were born. I was born on a day. September 9th, 1959. Well, there was a day I was born again. There was a succinct time. Now, I don't remember when it was, but there was a time when I was born. I wasn't alive, and then all of a sudden I was given spiritual life. Which were born. Not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Now, let me tell you three things about the new birth that do not cause it. First, if you're born, it's not because of any fleshly relation. You're not born again because your mother or dad are born again. Not of the will of the flesh. You're not born again as an act of your will, where you heard the gospel and chose to believe it, and then God gave you faith and you were saved because you willed it. You know, the very notion of free will is a lie. There's no such thing as free will. Your will is controlled by your nature. If you have an evil nature, that's what controls your will. God doesn't even have a free will. His will is controlled by His nature. He can't sin. He can't freely choose to do wrong. He can't lie. He's God. His will is controlled by His nature. And the very idea of free will is a philosophical absurdity. Yet people try to promote this thing. Well, no, your will has nothing to do with you being born of God. Not the will of man. That's talking about a bunch of men trying to get together and praying for you until you are born again. Like, they can do that. I'm not going to give God any rest. I'm going to keep praying until this person is born again. I love the scripture in Zechariah, "Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." Well, what is the new birth? Well, Nicodemus came to the Lord by night and he said, "Master, we know you're a man sent from God because nobody can do the miracles you do except God be with him." He recognized that. Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You can't understand anything about the kingdom of God unless you're born from above. And then he said in verse 5, "Verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, He cannot enter the kingdom of God. There's no entrance into the kingdom of God without being born from above. And then he says in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It'll never rise above that. That which is born of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is Spirit. You see, God the Holy Spirit is the one who gives this new birth. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, where it wills. And you hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. This is the sovereign work of God. He gives birth to whom He will. And He uses the Word of God. James 1:18 says, of His own will begat He us through the Word of truth. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. The gospel message is what God uses. God the Holy Spirit takes the gospel message and raises somebody from the dead, giving them life that was not there before. Creating new life within. It's a supernatural, mysterious work of God that takes place invincibly and irresistibly through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we read, whosoever believeth is born of God. Now, here's the question I want to ask. We've been talking about being born of God. How can I know if I've been born of God? What is the evidence that one sees when he is born of God? What is the tangible evidence? Something that is actually taught in the Word of God where I can see, yes, I'm born of God. What is the evidence that a man has experienced this supernatural work of grace and been given a new nature and a new heart, is a new creation in Christ Jesus? What is the evidence that God has done this great work in a man's soul? Well, our text tells us. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, I fear either not telling what this passage of Scripture means in its simplicity or overcomplicating it and taking away the meaning. I don't want to do that. I want to take this passage of Scripture as it stands. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whosoever. That's the way the verse begins. Whosoever. Now I'm a whosoever. This is better than if it said my name. Because there are perhaps hundreds of Todd Niverts around the world. And if it said Todd Nivert, it might not mean me. It might mean some other Todd Nivert. But whosoever, I am in that group. This is a glorious, wide, broad word. You're whosoever. So this is addressed to you. Whosoever. Anybody that fits this description, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, whosoever believeth. Now, in order for me to take a promise to myself, I'm going to have to fit the description of the one the promise is made to. Here's an example. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Now, that's better then if it said Christ Jesus came into the world to save Todd Nivert. Because like I said, that might mean another Todd Nivert. But sinners. Well, whatever else I may or may not say about myself, I can say this, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I say that to my shame. I don't say I used to be a sinner. I say I am a sinner. If I did it, it's sin. Whatever I do, if I did it, it's sin. I cannot not sin. And this is all my fault. I'm not a victim. I can't blame anybody. This is all my fault that I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner by nature. I'm a sinner by choice. I'm a sinner by practice. I cannot sit in judgment on any human being and look down my nose and think I'm better than them. If I really believe I'm a sinner, and I've got no claims on God. If God passed me by, He'd be just. I don't have a sense of entitlement to anything from God because of my sinfulness. I am a sinner. Therefore, I can conclude that Christ came to save me because it says He came to save sinners. I'm one of them. Oh, I love this word, whosoever. Whosoever. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Now notice this word, whosoever believeth. Not seeth, but believeth. We're not talking about something you see. We're talking about something you believe. Now, most people, when they think, well, if I've been born again, they would look for evidences in their lives where they could say, well, God's changed me. God's changed me. I'm less sinful than I used to be. I'm more holy than I used to be. I have more good works. I commit less sins. I'm doing better. I can see evidence in my life. I can see growth in my life. And because of what I see in my life, I must be born again. Now, John doesn't say anything like that. Not here, he doesn't. He says, whosoever believeth. Not someone who sees certain set things and concludes they must be saved because of the things they see in themselves. As a matter of fact, if you can see something in yourself that makes you think you're saved, all that is self-righteousness. It has nothing to do with saving faith. Faith doesn't have anything to do with what you believe about yourself. It so says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Not whosoever believes he's saved. Not whosoever sees certain evidences in their lives that make them think that they're more holy and less sinful and just looking for things in their lives, things they do or don't do that makes them think they're saved. Doesn't say anything like that. Doesn't say whosoever believes that Christ died for their sins. It doesn't say whosoever believes they're born again or elect or anything like that. Faith has nothing to do with what you believe about yourself. It has wholly to do with what you believe regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now the issue is, always has been, and always will be, what think ye of Christ? That's God's issue. What do you think of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Just forget everything else. This is the only thing we want to deal with. What do you think of Christ? Whosoever believeth that Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Mary, the one born in a stable, the carpenter, the man Christ Jesus, the one who was nailed to a cross and was raised from the dead and ascended back to glory. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, there were a lot of people who believed in the Christ in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were looking for the coming Messiah. They were looking for a Christ. That's the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. It means the anointed. They were looking for a mighty political deliverer to come and rescue them from Roman rule and set back up Jerusalem as the head of the world. And they wanted political power and they wanted the law to rule. And they wanted this kingdom and they had no understanding of the kingdom of Christ. It didn't even make any sense to them. They had no desire for that. They believed in a Messiah. They just didn't believe Jesus was that Messiah. They didn't believe Jesus was the Christ. In the opening of the Lord's public ministry, and I think this will help us understand what the Christ means. Somebody once said to me, that's too simplistic. Simply say that whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's too simplistic. Everybody believes Jesus is the Christ. No, they don't, because not very many people know what Christ means. The Lord said in Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 18, this is the opening of His public ministry. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me. Now that's what Christ means, the anointed one. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He hath anointed me for those things. Now, in the Old Testament, there were three offices where an anointing took place, where oil was smeared upon them and they were acknowledged to be these things. There was the anointing of the prophet, there was the anointing of the priest, and there was the anointing of the king. Now, in the Old Testament, some men held one office, some men held two offices. Nobody held three offices. Moses was a prophet and he was a king, but he was no priest. Samuel was a priest and a prophet, but he wasn't a king. David was a king and a prophet, but he was no priest. You see, there's only one man that holds all three offices, and that man is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God's prophet. He's God's priest. He's God's king. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Now, what is a prophet? A prophet brings men the word from God. You know, Christ is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Christ is all God has to say. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him. He is the Word of God. I love that passage of Scripture in John chapter 6, where after the Lord gave this message, their analysis of what He said was, these are hard words. Harsh, disagreeable to humanity. Who can hear them? And the Lord heard a murmur and He said, does this offend you? What I've just said? Does this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? What He means by that is if you're offended now, you'll really be offended then when you see Me in My glory. The words that I speak to you, as God's prophet, the words that I speak to you, they're spirit and they are life. And you know, a bunch of people left after this. People who claimed to be His disciples, they left. They didn't want to hear these words anymore. And the Lord looked at the 12 and He said, will you also go away? And Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? It's not like we have any options. Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. A prophet brings men God's Word. Christ is the Word of God. Do you believe He's God's prophet? Do you believe He is the Word of God? Do you believe He is the expression of God? Jesus Christ, God's prophet. Secondly, He's God's priest. Now, a priest brings men to God and represents men to God. A prophet brings the Word of God to men. A priest brings men to God. And a priest does this through a sacrifice. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is that great high priest who brings the Father a sacrifice in behalf of men, so that those men can be accepted by God. That's what the priesthood of Christ is. That's why it's an abomination for a man to call himself a priest of other men. There's only one true priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not some man dressed in an odd way. That's not a priest. The true priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He brings men to God through the sacrifice of Himself. He presents His own blood to the Father. Now, He's the altar. He's the priest. He's the altar. And He Himself is the sacrifice. And He is always successful. Everyone He represents is saved. I love that passage of Scripture in 1 John 2:1-2. These things write unto you that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, our great high priest, Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, He's never lost a case as our advocate, as the great high priest. He makes all of His clients plead guilty, and He makes them all to be justified. What a priest. Now, there's a passage in Daniel chapter 9 that speaks of the Messiah that will let us identify who this priest really is. Now, we read beginning in verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon My people. This is speaking of the Messiah, and that's talking about 490 years. The Magi, the wise men that came at the birth of our Lord, they came after reading this passage of Scripture, knowing it's time for the Messiah to be born. It was prophesied at this time. 70 weeks are determined upon Thy people, upon Thy holy city. And here's what Messiah the Prince will do. He shall finish the transgression. He shall make an end of sins. He shall make reconciliation for iniquity. He shall bring in everlasting righteousness. He shall seal up the vision and the prophecy. He's going to make it real, seal it up. It's going to be fulfilled in Him, and to anoint the Most Holy. Now, this is what the Messiah Prince will do. And this is how you can tell if you really believe He's God's priest. He's someone who finished the transgression. When He said it is finished, sin was gone. Everybody He died for was saved. Everybody He died for, their salvation was accomplished. He's going to make an end of sin, because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He's going to make reconciliation for iniquity. That's what He did on Calvary's tree. He put it away and He reconciled everybody He represented as a priest to God. And He's going to bring in everlasting righteousness. Every believer is saved by His righteousness. He is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament Scriptures, and He has anointed the Most Holy. That's the priest. Now, whosoever believeth that He is the Christ, the prophet, the priest, and the third office that was anointed was the king. Remember when David was anointed king, and Samuel put the oil upon the king. Christ is God's king. Now, what's a king? A king's the one who rules. A king's the one who reigns. The king is the one who has absolute and complete control. Somebody once said to me, they were looking forward to the millennial reign. They said, when Christ will reign. And I told the person, He reigns right now. He reigns right now. He has absolute control right now. I don't have to wait till a millennial reign. The Lord's reigning right now. He rules. He reigns. He's the king. He's the sovereign king of the earth. His will is always done. He controls everything in time because He determined everything in eternity. And I need Him as my king to cause me to do His will, to cause me to believe. I need His sovereign will to cause me to do all I'm supposed to do. I need Him to rule and reign for me, in me. Oh, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, God's prophet, God's priest, God's king, is born of God. Birthed by God. They've experienced this supernatural new birth. And really, my dear friends, this is the rock upon which the church is built. Every believer understands this. Not intellectually, but they believe it. I think of the thief on the cross. When he saw the Lord nailed to the cross, he still knew He was prophet, priest, and king. He knew He was God's Christ. He knew He wouldn't stay dead. He said, Lord, remember me when You come into Your kingdom. You're going to come back as a mighty reigning king. Oh, remember me. Do you remember when the Lord, in Matthew chapter 16, said to His disciples, "Whom say men that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, well, they say pretty good things about you. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're Elijah, one of the prophets. They put you in some high cotton. They say good things about you. But whom say ye that I am? Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ, God's prophet, God's priest, and God's king, the Son of the living God, the eternal, uncreated, second person of the blessed Trinity. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to thee, but My Father, which is in heaven." The only reason you know this is because God the Father revealed this to you. "And I say unto you, thou art Peter, little rock, little stone. And upon this rock, this confession of Me, will I build My church." It's the confession of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's the Son of God. He's the Creator. He's all-powerful. All that God is, He is. Jesus Christ is God. He's God the Son. God manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ is God, the Son of the living God. He is God's Christ. He's God's prophet. He's the Word of God. He's God's priest. If He represents you before God, you must be saved. He's God's King, ruling and reigning. Upon this rock, God says, Christ says, "I will build My church, and the gates of hell itself shall not prevail against it." This battering ram of the gospel will knock down the doors of hell and rescue everybody for whom Christ died. Now, what is the evidence? What is the tangible evidence of being born of God? Thank God for this verse of Scripture, the simplicity of it, yet the vastness of it. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." And that verse goes on to say, "And he that loveth him that begat..." You know, if you're born of God, you know where you came from. You came from God. God gave you that life. "He that loveth him that begat, loveth also him that is begotten of him." You see, true brothers and sisters, born of God in Christ Jesus. Now, we have this message on DVD or CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Knight, praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.